Well, as I mentioned earlier, today I'm beginning a short series of sermons just throughout the month of October, I'm titling this sermon series, God in Our Storms. When it comes to storms, I think we all kind of know what that means. The Bible is literally full of storm stories. Everything from Noah and the flood that destroyed the entire everything on the earth except for those who were in the ark. I mean, that was a 40-day storm, rained and winds, everything from that. Jonah had a storm that he had to deal with to the point where people cast him across or out of the boat because he said, if you don't, your boat is going to be swamped. Jesus stilled some storms. He walked on the water through storms. The Apostle Peter was called out of a storm or out of the boat into a storm and then rescued from that storm as Jesus gave him a hands up. Even the Apostle Paul was shipwrecked in storms a number of times. So, and that's just a small smattering of storm topics that are in Scripture. We're not going to be looking at every single one of them because not every storm in the Bible is physical. Most of, there are a lot of them, do have to deal with wind and waves and rain and thunder and crashing and a physical time of discomfort. But there are just as many storms that are not physical but are spiritual storms. Things come up, our faith is shaken, and everyone deals with these. We wrestle with our doubts and we wrestle with the whole grace and truth balance. There are all kinds of internal wars. Satan is constantly waging battles between what Scripture says, what Jesus demands of believers and disciples, and what the world is trying to tell us. And it's a constant struggle. So regardless of what type of storm you're dealing with, Scripture is very clear that everyone goes through storms. I feel really bad for this little bird. But that just reminds us of the fact that it doesn't matter who you are, storms are going to hit. Life may be going really great at the moment, but no one goes through life without participating in some kind of a storm. So rather than be surprised by them, we should prepare for them. And so that's kind of the topic of the day. How do we prepare for the storms? And this is one of the biggest lessons I think that Scripture gives us, is that we can prepare. Today we're going to be taking a look at a passage of Scripture out of the book of Matthew, Jesus' own words from the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. It's a very familiar parable that Jesus told. It's called the parable of the wise and foolish builders. Now, the fact that Judy and Brenda played that little song at the beginning of the service was not by accident, but it was kind of fun to be reminded of that song, you know? And as I was thinking about that song, I mentioned to Brenda that the last verse of that song really is not very theologically sound. You know, the first part is fine. The wise man built his house on the, when the rain came up, the flood, you know, and the house on the rock stood firm. Foolish man built his house upon the sand, rain came up, floods came, and the house on that sand went what? Flat. Okay, but then that third verse. So build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ, build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ, build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ, and the blessings will come down. Blessings come down as the prayers go up, blessings, et cetera, et cetera. So build your life on the Lord. Now, the only solid part of that is the build your life on the Lord. Okay? It doesn't always happen that the blessings come down as the prayers go up. Sometimes the prayers go up, and we don't feel any blessings. And we wonder, why in the world is the Lord continually after us? Why does he continue to leave us in those storms? But this parable seems to be pretty straightforward. Let me just read this parable. It doesn't take very long. It's just a few verses. Excuse me. Jesus says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, and I'm going to stop there. I have to. Every time I see the word therefore, I have to pause because I know that that word is therefore a reason. It's usually a conclusion kind of a word. Jesus has said something ahead of that that is necessary for us to understand. And these, even though we tend to pull the Sermon on the Mount apart and we just take a look at different pieces, it all goes together. And so when you look at that, what happened just previous, you see that Jesus is talking about a tree and its fruit. He's talking about how not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. So he's talking about this concept of hearing the word of God and maybe proclaiming that you are a Christian as opposed to what you do. There can't be a disconnect. There has to be a connection between what you say and what you do, what you hear and what you participate in. And so that's kind of what we're going to be looking at here. These two men are representing those who Jesus particularly wants and who he doesn't want. So let me just continue reading this. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. So the point that Jesus is beginning to make here seems very straightforward. The two men represent people who are supposed to be listening. You see, God is constantly speaking. The issue is not what is God saying. The issue is, are you listening to what God is saying? And I'll be honest with you, I don't always listen. I would imagine most of us those moments in our life where we really don't want to listen to God. We know what Scripture says. We've studied Scripture, as Elmer was saying. We got a prize at church camp because we memorized X number of verses. In vacation Bible school, in Sunday school, we memorized God's Word, and so we got prizes for it. So we know God is speaking, and we've tried to memorize His Word, and we've tried to hear what He says. But sometimes we just cover our ears. So this is not a story about people's construction abilities. Okay? It's not a story about whether they have the capability and the skill to be able to construct a house. That's not what this story is about. This story is not about anything to do with physical building. But this story is about choices that we make regarding what needs to be done. Both men need to build a house. And both will encounter a storm. Will they build wisely and prepare for the storm, or will they be foolish and build while ignoring the reality? You see, from the moment that we are born, we are all building a house, and that house is called life. And we take in all sorts of information from all sorts of origins, from all kinds of people. We get information from parents, from grandparents, from aunts, from uncles, from friends, from family, from teachers, from educational opportunities, from podcasts, from the internet, from social media. I mean, you name it. We get information from influencers. I'd never heard that was even a thing until a couple of years ago. People are paid to go on social media and try to influence others to buy certain products. And it isn't just about certain products anymore. Now it's about ideals. And so these influencers are paid a lot of money to sit at home on their computer and just give their opinions. And I'm not going to go anywhere with that anymore. But I just want you to understand that there are all kinds of things that are out there. And they're even from within ourselves. And we have all of these things that are happening, all of this information that is coming in. There are all kinds of experts, and there are all kinds of philosophers, and there are all kinds of counselors, and there's all kinds of religions out there. And there's all kinds of celebrities, and there's all kinds of everybody who is trying to get you to think about things in a certain way. Okay, am I wrong in that? No, I don't think so. The ultimate challenge is, amidst the cacophony of noise that's out there, how do you make the wise choice? How do you build on the rock? Well, this parable is literally Jesus' attempt to compare two types of people. Not two types of landscapes, but two types of people. Those who hear and do versus those who hear and don't do. And it really boils down to that. Those who hear, even though it might not be popular, but build on the rock, even though it might be time-consuming, are considered wise. Those who hear but decide to do their own thing, decide to ignore the dangers, decide to just fulfill their own fantasies. Maybe they are very much into instant gratification. I don't know. But they hear, and yet they don't do. And those are the people that are considered foolish. Maybe they trusted the other voices more than they trusted the voice of Jesus. You see, the choice is constantly there. You either hear and listen to the voice of Jesus, or you hear the voice of Jesus and you ignore it. And he says it's just as simple as building on rock or building on sand. And Jesus makes it clear that these houses were not built in the middle of the storm. Okay? I know that there are a lot of people who think, I can do whatever I want with my life, and then if a storm comes, then I'll turn to Jesus. And there are lots of people who do that. They wait until something is happening in their life, and then as a last resort, they go to God. And they're not prepared. Their life is not ready. And so Jesus is trying to make it clear that these houses were not built in the middle of the storm, but they were built to prepare for the storm. You see, in both weather, in good weather, both houses look very sound. And when you think about it, it's true. If there's nothing crashing against these houses, it wouldn't matter if it was built on sand or if it was built on rock. Nobody's going to know. What happens to figure out whether these are solid houses or not is when the storm comes. So you need to prepare for that. Now, Jesus, I need to set a little bit of context here. Jesus is speaking this sermon. We call it the Sermon on the Mount. It probably happened on a hillside. There are not a lot of mountains in Capernaum and in that area of Galilee where Jesus probably was preaching these words. But what did happen is oftentimes the rain would come. And again, Capernaum is not known for a lot of rain. They maybe get 18 to 20 inches of rain a whole year, okay? Around here, that just wouldn't fly. You wouldn't be able to grow your crops quite well if you only relied on that little bit of rain. But in that area, because of the topography of that area, they had these things called wadis, W-A-D-I-S. And a wadi was an area kind of like a river that was most of the time dry. And you could walk on it, you could herd animals through it, et cetera, et cetera. But if a rain came up in the mountains were not porous, so the water would run down them and they would run into these wadis, and these wadis could flood in a heartbeat. And anything that was in their path would get swept away. And so when people are hearing Jesus talking about the rains coming and the floods coming, this is what they're thinking about. They're not thinking about the Ember River. They're thinking about this, these wadis. And the gathering flood water would fill the wadi, and the torrential current would uproot trees and would destroy anything in its path. And if you are ever in the Middle East or in that area and you walk through one of these wadis, you will see that there is zero growth, zero trees, no brush. There's some probably on the sides, but nothing right in the path in the wadi bed. And the sand that is in that is extremely fine. And it will move, and it will shift, and it will go wherever that water is taking it. And so Jesus is making this very clear. As fast as these storms come, they can dissipate, because in the matter of an hour or two, whatever water was in that wadi it will be gone. But the damage has already been done. So when Jesus is talking about this flood water, this is what they would be thinking about. And while it may seem foolish for either person to build in or near a wadi, Jesus' point is very clear. The storms of life are going to separate those who have heard of God and have built their life on Him, as opposed to those who have heard of God and have not built their life on Him. So the issue for Jesus here is, how are you preparing? Are you preparing for the storm? I just want to make four real quick points. The first one is, storms will come. Jesus doesn't say the storm might come, and maybe you'll make it all the way through life without ever having a single storm. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say if the storm comes. He just says when the storm comes. When the storm comes, and it will happen, and you need to be prepared. And it's no different in our world. If you're going to build a house in Florida, you have certain building codes and wind loads that are necessary because of the hurricanes that are probably going to be happening. I've never built a house in Florida, so I don't know this, but I understand that there are very strict building codes. Why do you do that? So that you can prepare for the storms that are most likely to hit that area. Now, if you're in Minnesota, you don't have to worry about hurricanes, but you have to worry about snow. And so you build so that your roof can handle 6 feet of snow. And you may think, wow, that's just ridiculous. Well, I've shoveled snow off of roofs. I know that it can get very deep. And I know how much weight can be on roofs. So the idea here is, before you even construct your house, you have to know your region, you have to know your area, you have to know what is going to be the storms that are most likely to come, and you have to prepare for them. Now, I'm not trying to be negative here, neither is Jesus, but storms will happen, and they will happen to both wise builders and foolish builders. In fact, earlier in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said these words: He causes His sun to rise on the evil and the good, and He sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. So it doesn't matter who you are, you're going to have a storm. Just because you're a believer in God does not mean you are immune from storms. So lesson number one, storms will come. It's not if, but when. Lesson number two is, the best time to prepare for a storm is before it happens. This is a hurricane preparation kit. Before the hurricane, and I don't remember which one it was, but they, down in Florida and in Texas, actually, in Louisiana, they posted big billboards, prepare for the hurricane, and they had all kinds of things that you were supposed to do. When do you prepare? Well, you prepare before the storm comes. It would be pretty silly to try to be running around finding those things during the midst of the hurricane. Why? Well, all of the stores are boarded up. Good luck there, pal. It's not going to happen. But you see, sometimes we're kind of like the old codger who never fixed his roof, okay? His roof was in very, very bad shape, but he never fixed it. And his reasoning was, well, when it's sunny, it don't leak. And when it's rainy, it's too wet to get up there to fix it. So I'm kind of stuck. We need to take time to prepare for the storm when the sun is out. When is the time to build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ? Today is. You're not going through a storm, maybe. So today is the perfect time to dig in and begin to prepare and begin to build your life on Jesus. Not when things are going bad. Now, you'll probably be drawn to God anyway when times are going bad. But you need to prepare for the storm before it happens. The time to think about it is now. The time to build your life on the foundation of God is when things are going well and the storm isn't raging around you, taking away your mental thoughts and your emotions. But now is the time to deal with that. And the third thing is, don't underestimate the power of the storm. Now, I'm not trying to be insensitive, because I know that there are people in this church that have firsthand knowledge about the power of storms. They understand these storms. They understand what happens and the damage that can be done. But sometimes people think, well, I've never been in a storm like that, so maybe these storms are just nothing. Maybe it's just all fiction. And just when we think we're immune to destruction by the storms and we refuse to prepare for the storms, Satan will throw a storm at our way. And it doesn't matter what the storm is. It can be water, it can be wind, it doesn't matter. Storms are powerful. But sometimes we just think that, you know, God has only one way of helping me through a storm. I don't know if maybe you've ever heard the story of a man who was going through a flood. But this flood was rising, the waters were covering the road, and somebody came in a four-wheel vehicle and said, why don't you hop on, and we'll take you to safety. He said, no, God will save me. Well, the water kept rising. It got up to his porch. Somebody in a canoe came by and said, why don't you hop in? The guy said, no, God's going to save me. The water kept rising. A motorboat came by, you know, a rescue vehicle, motorized rescue vehicle came by. And by this time, the water was up to the second floor, and he's hanging out a window. They said, hop in the boat. We'll take you to safety. He says, no, God is going to save me. The water kept rising. He's up on the roof of his house. A helicopter comes. Get in, they say. We'll take you to safety. No, no, no. God is going to save me. Pretty soon, the water went up over the top of the roof. The man drowned. And as he's standing at the pearly gates, he's baffled. And he comes to Jesus and he says, I don't understand. I don't understand what's going on. I trusted that you were going to save me. And the Lord looked at him and said, I sent you a four-wheeler, a canoe, a motorboat, a helicopter. What more do you want? And sometimes that's how we are. We expect God is going to save us, but we're not thinking about the power of these storms. Satan is very powerful. And we sometimes just blow him off like he's a non-entity in my life. My friends, he is an entity, and he is powerful, and we need to prepare for that power. But it all begins on a foundation. Now, when the apostle Luke, or when the doctor Luke, wrote his gospel message of this story, this is what he says about that, the same story. It says, he's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation upon the rock. And when the flood rose, the torrent burst against the house and could not shake it because it had been well built. You see, sometimes we think, and I've, you know, because of the pictures in Sunday school and different things, we think that there are people who are building like on a beach, you know, like a sandcastle on the beach, and then the person building on the rock is building on this mountain. Okay, and even the picture of the wadi, we think that there's a person building in the wadi and then another person building up on that rock. But that's not what the picture is that Jesus or that Luke is portraying about this, the words of Jesus. What Jesus is saying is, it's all sand. It's all sand. But underneath the sand is rock. You have to dig down to get to the rock. But only if you're willing to prepare. Only if you are willing to do the hard work to find the rock under the sand. You see, the Apostle Paul understood this. He understood what foundation it was because he even said in 1 Corinthians 3:11, no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. And then in Ephesians chapter 2, he says, consequently, you are fellow citizens with God's people and also members of God's household built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. The apostles understood that what Jesus wanted of his people was that you would be willing to dig down into the sand until you got to bedrock. And that's where you begin to build. The wise man, he does the hard work. She does the hard work. They dig for the foundation for their life. because they know that they're going to hear messages that are going to try to disrupt that. The foolish people ignore God's word. They refuse the truth of Scripture, or worse, they're apathetic toward it, but it isn't too late for us to prepare for the storm. Every foundation, though, is going to fail, except for the foundation of Jesus Christ. It's never too late to build on the foundation of Jesus. Be wise, Jesus says. Prepare for the storms today by listening to Jesus' words and doing them. We offer an invitation frequently for those who have never made that choice. Oh, you've heard the word. You know, that's not the problem. The word has been around. Lots of people have heard the word, but I've never done the word. I've never made that choice. The day is now. Make the choice before the storm comes. And if you're in the midst of a storm, make that choice anyway, because it's never too late.